A federal study found that in 1995, 96.4 billion pounds of food was wasted in this country, about a pound a day for every U.S. citizen. According to some estimates, well over a quarter of all the food produced in this country is thrown away. Jonathan Bloom, a food writer based in North Carolina, writes a blog called Wasted Food, in which he looks at how much we waste and how we can cut down on that waste. I'm very pleased that he's able to join us now to discuss the problem. Welcome.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Did something specific get you interested in this subject?
Yeah, it did. I had the good fortune of volunteering at DC Central Kitchen, which is a food recovery organization. And what they do is go out and recover all the food that is edible but unsellable. And so that got me thinking, it's a real happy story that they're recovering this food, but what happens elsewhere when there isn't such an organization?
Well, there are in most of the major cities in America, aren't there? Here in New York, there are organizations like City Harvest, which pick up food from restaurants and distribute it to soup kitchens and other organizations. Do we have any sense of what percentage of the waste they rescue?
I don't have an exact amount, but from talking with some people in the field, anecdotally, it's really just the tip of the iceberg. So many of the foods that go to waste aren't recoverable, and there's only so many restaurants and supermarkets.
Hello?
Hello?
You're there again. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. Only so many restaurants and supermarkets.
Yeah, so they reach all of the restaurants and supermarkets that they would like. It's really under 10% from what I've heard.
Well, in some cases, there are laws designed to protect our health, which force stores to discard milk and other perishables when they reach their sell-by dates. So what can we do about that? Are there ways to plan better or to avoid that waste?
Well, I think there's a lot of disinformation or misunderstood facts out there, but there's a federal shield law, the 1996 Bill Emerson Good Samaritan Act, which protects donors who donate food in good faith from any liability should anything go wrong. What I would say is that many people don't know about this kind of protection. Many of the stores don't know about it, and then I think some others might hide behind it, hide behind their ignorance, and just say that they don't want to be sued, and so they might not donate the food when in fact they'd be perfectly free from liability.
Where is most of the food occurring? In homes, in restaurants, grocery stores, processing plants, on farms?
Well, the waste is really spread throughout the food chain, and that's both a blessing and a curse. And the good part of that is that individuals can make a real dent in the amount of waste just in their own homes. Obviously, the farm loss and the stuff that happens in supermarkets and even before fresh food reaches the supermarkets, that's not something that individuals can affect. But in your own home, there are many things that people can do to cut down the amount of waste that ends up in the landfill.
Well, we'll get to that in a moment. Didn't you work for a while in the produce department of a supermarket?
Yeah, I did, and that was a real eye-opening experience. What I found there was that we have a real perfection complex, and so any fresh fruit or vegetable that doesn't look quite right, it isn't the right shape, it isn't the right size, maybe it's the wrong color, anything like that gets culled or discarded. And so what happens is people just are so specific, and then supermarket people apply that. They think that shoppers are going to be so fussy that anything that doesn't meet that specific criteria gets tossed.
And then people, in some cases, rescue the food. Ruth Reichel, who now is the editor-in-chief of Gourmet Magazine, says that when she was younger, she was a dumpster diver.
Yeah, the so-called freegans. It's quite possible to live on the excess of our society, and many people are doing that, and I think that just speaks to the amount and quality of food that gets tossed every day.
Well, many people would be freaked out at the thought of going into a supermarket dumpster and retrieving food.
Yeah, well,
they look pretty grungy, don't they?
What's that?
They're pretty grungy.
Yeah. Well, from the freegans I've spoken to, they're certainly skilled and they've picked up a few tricks along the way. But yeah, I think people would be surprised what the human body can process.
My guest is Jonathan Bloom, who is a blogger. His blog is called Wasted Food, in which he examines the many ways that we waste food in this country. Are we wasting more food than other times in our history?
Yeah, we certainly are, and it's really been a steady increase from World War II. And from talking to some of the older Americans, just the massive amounts of squandering that people see on a daily basis, whether it's at a restaurant or maybe in some of their younger relatives' homes, really rubs them the wrong way, especially after the suffering and the amount of food that they had to really make do with during the Depression and World War II.
So you're saying this is a generational thing?
Yeah, in some ways it is. And I think what I've seen is that people who didn't live through that kind of rationing in World War II and the poverty in the Depression really just don't appreciate food the same way.
So you think that's going to change now with this economic downturn, rising food costs?
Well, I mean, I don't like to say that rising food costs can ever be a good thing, but if there is a silver lining to it, I think it might force people to be a little more careful with the food that they buy.
Well, there was an article in the New York Times last spring that described a typical family's monthly share of the discarded food: 24 pounds of fruit and vegetables, 22 pounds of milk, 18.5 pounds of grains, 122 pounds in all, and that was 1995. The Times also included a graph showing that food costs have remained relatively stable while other costs like housing and health care have risen. So have we kind of come to devalue food, or do we just buy too much? Do we buy too much flour and then discover that there are these little bugs crawling in it and throw it away?
Well, I think it's both. In terms of the value of food, yeah, the cost of the average food spending is so low. It's about 10% of our income. And I think I was just writing about this today. When you don't pay for something or when you don't pay much for it, you really don't value it as much as when you do. So I think that's something that I'm going to keep an eye on in the coming months as food costs do increase. And just in terms of household waste, people keeping an eye on it and really thinking about it, I think that's the number one way that folks can reduce the amount of food they end up tossing.
Well, you may be too young to remember a time when parents told their kids you had to clean the plate because children are starving in India.
Yeah, well, I've definitely heard that a bunch. I know some people will say that that's not a healthy approach to eating, and I would tend to agree, but my point is let's serve sensible portions and not force people to choose between overeating and wasting food.
Is there a relationship between the amount of food discarded here and the hunger that we see in other parts of the world?
Not a direct correlation, and I think you could make an argument that there is, but I think it's a bit tenuous. But what I would say is that culturally, if you're teaching kids that it's okay to throw away food, that it's okay to throw away commodity, that someone has put a lot of resources, both fiscal and natural, into growing, I think that's only going to hurt our culture and project the wrong image to the rest of the world.
How do we even measure this kind of waste? Does somebody go into the landfills and look at how much food has been dumped each day?
Well, it's tricky to measure. You're sort of counting something that no one really wants to tally. But I think your question's a great one, because the main answer is that we don't. And the last numbers that came out were from 1995. They were published in 1997. So it's high time we take a look at this. And I think that what we will find is that the amount of waste, if the same rate is occurring today, which I have reason to believe it is, that it was in 1997, then I think we'll be shocked with what we find, and I think it will really open people's eyes to the issue.
Does this happen in other developed countries as well, like France or Japan, for example?
Yeah, it really is. It's quite common, and I would say most common in the English-speaking world, are from what I've seen. And in the UK, there's much more of a focus on the issue. And a recent study by a government-funded group found that a third of all the food produced there doesn't get eaten. And to be honest, there's a greater effort underway in the UK to really curb the issue, both through prevention of waste and then proper handling of the food waste once it's inedible. So either composting it or, in the most advanced cases, creating energy from it.
Well, some places have better composting programs than others. In New York, we have compost centers at our green markets, but I don't know too many people who do that. In many parts of the country, there are large compost programs. And then if you have a fair amount of property, there are a lot of people who just have their own compost heaps.
Yeah, and this is actually a topic that I hear from people about a lot. In fact, just today, I got an email from someone in Queens, and she was telling me that in their apartment building, a bunch of people got together. They went to the management, and they said, we want to put in a compost bin that everyone can use. And so for the last 6 months, they've had this little compost bin right sort of next to the parking lot. So it is the kind of thing where it's more difficult to do in an urban setting, but it's not impossible. And they also have some indoor composting contraptions that people can buy for their apartments.
I'm assuming that farmers pretty much compost all of the excess stuff that they produce.
Yeah, and whether it's in a separate pile or just turning it under and putting the nutrients back into the soil, yeah, they're pretty good about that.
But a recent EPA study found that all but 2% of food waste winds up in landfills. So that means 98% of the food waste we're dumping into a landfill. That's not creating compost, is it?
No, unfortunately not. It's creating a real problem. It's creating methane, which then contributes to global warming, and does so at a much higher rate than CO2. So about 18% of landfills are made up of food, and landfills are the largest man-made methane emitter in the U.S. and throughout the world.
So is this a political issue?
I mean, you're saying
it's an environmental one. Environmental ones usually wind up going back to politics, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's an environmental issue, it's an economic issue, and a cultural issue. And hopefully, through the combination of those three factors, we'll get some people in Washington and in various other locations to really pay attention to it.
What would you like to see Washington do in regard to food waste?
I'd like to see an effort put on awareness and a really maybe a public service message similar to the litter bug campaign. In the UK, they have a website devoted to strategies for helping people avoid waste. And then just in the agricultural sector, I think the USDA could really take a look at getting farmers to be smarter about it and not rewarding excess growth and storage of certain foods.
Yesterday, you wrote about a fruit cycling program in Hawaii. What does that mean?
It's a really neat idea where people will volunteer their backyard tree fruit to be harvested. So you have a tree in your backyard, you're not going to use all the fruit. You contact the group, and they'll come and harvest it and donate it to the needy.
So what can we do as individuals? You've talked about working for a renewable energy company that's working on converting food waste to electricity, but that's all large scale. What should we as individuals do? Is this just a matter of planning our meals ahead of time, buying just enough food to prepare each day, or instead of going to a supermarket and filling up the cart, going to a local smaller shop and buying what we need each day?
Yeah, I think
you're going to put Costco out of business.
Unfortunately, I don't think so. But I think the overarching thing I would point to is to get people to focus on the amount of food that they do throw out. So just maybe taking a week and writing down all the food that you toss. And then practically, yeah, it's about planning your meals out ahead of time, making a detailed shopping list, and actually sticking to that list when you're shopping, because a lot of times people will be tempted into these impulse buys, and those are often the things that go to waste. And then when you are serving meals, serve sensible portions, knowing that people can always take more, and be sure to save the leftovers. And last but not least, actually eat those leftovers.
What about doggy bags? A lot of people are embarrassed to ask for a doggy bag at a restaurant.
Yeah. Apparently, people are. I don't quite get that. And I know that it's out there, but I think that's something that we need to get over. And hopefully, now that frugal is chic, we'll make that happen.
You've written about restaurants charging for bread in today's blog. Is that a good thing, do you think?
Potentially. I mean, I think anytime people are paying for food, they're going to be more aware of the value of it. But I think a better idea would be to have waiters ask diners if they want bread, or maybe come around with a basket and let people have a slice, and feel free to ask for another, but not necessarily dump a basket with 8 slices on a table with 2 people, knowing that anything that restaurants put on a table can't be reused.
Well, it sounds to me like we actually don't have to eat everything, but we really can do stuff with the things that now just wind up in landfills, and we're not doing it. Is this because there just isn't enough awareness in this country, or is it because there just aren't enough government programs? There is even resistance to recycling, cans and plastics in some areas.
Yeah, sure. There is some resistance to something as seemingly simple as recycling. But, I mean, think back 20 years ago, it was nowhere near where it is today. So I think with these things, it does take time, it does take awareness, but most importantly, it takes a bit of effort and a bit of change in your day-to-day and week-to-week behaviors. And that's often the last thing to change, the hardest thing to change.
Now, how can people access your blog, and when is the book I hear you're writing going to come out?
Well, the book should be out in 2010. I'm working on it now, and blogging daily at wastedfood.com.
Dara from Brooklyn left a comment on our show page asking, what about our total disconnection from food production? Isn't that a major cause of the lack of concern for the food that we both eat and waste?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think a better system would be growing your own food or knowing where it comes from, and that ties in with what I was saying before about valuing the food. You know, when you know how much went into growing it and all the effort and the time and money, you're not going to be wasting it quite as frequently.
And there are some chefs who are encouraging people to think that way, but most of us, of course, cannot, at least in cities, cannot grow our own food.
Right.
It's unfortunate.
That's the beauty of the farmers market, just going there and talking to the people who produce your food, and like many people have written, if you have questions about how they do it, you can ask them. And if you're wondering why they don't farm organically, then you can ask them.
Some people have suggested that we even open farm fields to gleaners, although that is unlikely. You have a picture of the gleaners in Millet's Gleaners on your blog. We have a link to your blog on our show page at WNYC.org. My great thanks to you for talking with us today. Jonathan Bloom is a food writer based in North Carolina who writes a blog called Wasted Food.
Well,
thanks so much.
For having me.